ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सिद्धांत विरुद्ध
Yeah. ఆదిసిద్ధాంత విరుద్ధ
Bhakti Siddhanta, conclusive statements about the science of devotional service. Viruddha, opposing. Ara, and Rasa Abhasa, overlapping of transcendental mellows. Shunite, to hear. Na, not. Haya becomes Prabhura of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chittera of the heart. Ullasa, jubilation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Translation: Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was never pleased to hear books or verses opposed to the conclusive statements of devotional service. The Lord did not like hearing rasabhasa, the overlapping of transcendental mellows. Purport: Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha refers to that which is against the principle of unity and diversity, philosophically known as Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference, whereas rasabhasa is something that may appear to be transcendental mellow, but actually it is not. Those who are pure Vaishnavas should avoid both these things opposed to devotional service. What are those both things? That which is against Bhakti Siddhanta and that which is against Rasabhasa. These misconceptions practically parallel the Mayavada philosophy. If one indulges in Mayavada philosophy, he gradually falls down from the platform of devotional service. By overlapping mellows, rasabhasa, one eventually becomes a prakrita sahajiya and takes everything to be very easy. One may also become a member of the Baula community and gradually becomes attracted to material activities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore advised us to avoid bhakti siddhanta viruddha and rasabhasa. In this way, the devotee can remain pure and free from fall downs. Everyone should try to remain aloof from Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha and Rasabhasa. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohrishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta, Padakamalam, Shri Guru, Vaishna, Vamscha, Shri Rupam, Sagrajatam, Sahagana, Raghunatanvitam, Tam Sajivam. Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So before I begin speaking, I would like to thank all the Vaishnavas assembled here and all the senior Vaishnavas who have given me this opportunity to speak something about His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Although I do not have any qualifications, I am doing this merely for my purification. So request all of the Vaishnavas to please bless me to speak what is pleasing to the Lord and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the mercy of Sukadeva Prabhu told me on Monday that I have to give a class on Sunday, it was a meditation for me for this whole week, because I don't consider myself eligible to speak something about that Prabhupada who is very dear to our Srila Prabhupada, who is worship of the Lord. We were reading Srimad Bhagavatam in our Bhakti Vriksha, and we are reading chapter number 4, the appearance of Lord Narada Muni. In that, Prabhupada writes, when there is an assembly of senior Vaishnavas, generally it is only a very exalted devotee who actually glorifies the Acharya. And the less advanced hear from them. So this opportunity was given, so I'm only taking this as a service to so that I get purified, because I do not have any eligibility to glorify exalted servitors of the Lord. His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Sri Srila Prabhupada. So, generally we have seen in the Shastras that the Lord advents Himself for many reasons. And we know in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam shajamyam paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavani yuge yuge. So the Lord says that I come here with a purpose, and the purpose that the Lord says is paritranaya sadhunam. Before that He had said that I come here to establish the principles of dharma. It's very interesting, among all the incarnations of the Lord that is prominent, that we study prominently, in Kali Yuga the two predominant incarnations are Krishna and Rama. And even when the Lord comes down as Rama, He doesn't preach that much. He just practices the scriptures. That's why He is called as Maryada Purushottama. But it's only in the form of Krishna that He takes the role of an Acharya. He preaches. He preached to Arjuna. He takes the role of an Acharya. The moment you ask, the Vedanta Deshika and the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya says, Chollena Chunnal. When you ask the Lord, He starts speaking. He's waiting. If somebody puts the Lord on the Vyasasana, He will start speaking very quickly. Because nobody requests the Lord to sit on the Vyasasana. But He is waiting for us to give that tattva for us. So therefore, the Lord comes because of many reasons like Jnana Kriya, Bala Kriya, to destroy that, to annihilate the miscreants. But there is nothing more dear to the Lord than establishing the righteousness, than establishing the principles of Dharma and taking the position of an Acharya, which in the form of Lord Balaram, Lord Shankarshana, Lord Nityananda, He takes it. Although He remains aloof while tending the cows in the Vraja, in the forests of Vrindavana. That is the importance that Krishna gives to the Siddhanta. Siddhanta means those principles that have been Siddha. Siddha means what? Siddha means that which has been proven by practical experience. So these are called as experiential truths, experiential evidences. So Krishna gives very importance, too much importance to this, that it has to be preached. And even when Lord Bhishma Deva was leaving his body, Lord Krishna was worried. He said, this epitome of wisdom is going to leave this planet Prithvi forever. So we are going to lose this knowledge forever. So he then advises Yudhishthira Maharaj to go and take advice from Bhishma Deva. And he asks Bhishma Deva to preach even when he is about to leave his body. So much dear to Krishna is preaching. When Bhishma Deva says, "My dear Lord, I can't speak. I've been lying on this bed of arrows for many weeks now. I don't even have a drop of blood left in my body. I can't speak." Krishna says, No, I will sit in your tongue and I will make you speak, but I want you to speak. So much attachment that the Lord has for the devotees to preach. He himself preaches and he wants his devotees to preach this tattva. And if we see, the same mood of the Lord is taken by our acharyas. They all want to come here and preach. But the acharyas also do two things. What is that? Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya dushkrita. So when they start preaching, before they preach, they do something. So when a farmer is sowing the seeds in the farmland, what does he do first? He plows. And while plowing, what happens? Yes, he pulls the weeds out. First, the weeds are uprooted from the root. And then the acharya sows the seeds of bhakti. So therefore, the acharyas also advent for the same purpose. And when we come to our sampradaya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us the highest of the Siddhanta, which is Krishna Prema, which is Radha Krishna Prema. Now, we see that he came to give us that through the, how did he give it to us? Through the garland of Prema Nama. He gave us the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And through the same chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can realize the love of Godhead. But what we saw, if you see the history of the Sampradaya, it has gone through many illustrious period and then a quiet period follows. Again, there's an illustrious period and then there is a quiet period. It's almost like, you know, it gets hidden somewhere under the ground and then it comes, erupts again with full ecstasy. So what had happened after Baladev Vidyabhushana and then Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana and his disciple, His Holiness Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who is on the rightmost side of the photograph, who was the spiritual master of... No, we don't have Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. He must be on the altar. Yes, he's on the altar. So he's the spiritual master of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He's the Shiksha Guru of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So there was a quiet period during that time. And what had happened over many, many decades, lot of sincere devotees had gone into deep samadhi. So they want to just do their sadhana and perfect their lives. But what was happening because of this is, if you don't sow the seeds and grow important vegetables and grains, what happens? Weeds grow up. The weed starts growing up. So in that sense, because the sincere devotees were engrossed in their sadhana and perfecting their lives, weeds had sprouted in the form of apasampradayas everywhere. And this had percolated into the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And our Acharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was here, he observed this. He observed that the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been completely and grossly misrepresented. It was grossly misrepresented. At least there were 12 to 13 apasampradayas. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur started observing this. And he made it a purpose and goal of his life to bring back the pristine teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to spread the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu across the world. So this was his desire. Although he was a magistrate in Jagannath Puri, he had been there for 3 years. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur had been concerned about these teachings. So he was praying. He was praying fervently to the Lord, "Please give me a son who is a ray of Vishnu who can preach the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So he was fervently preaching, praying like this. And then, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared. He was born to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and he was named as Bimala Prasad. Bimala Devi is the consort of Lord Jagannath. And he is the Prasad. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the mercy of Bimala Devi. So therefore he was named as Bimala Prasad. So here we can see that the acharyas who are they are in Grihastha Ashrama, to beget a child in Krishna consciousness, they go through severe austerities. It is just not Garbhadhan Samskar, it is a way beyond that. To a large extent, it's much more tapasya that the parents go through to beget a son. And imagine if Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to appear through Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So there was a tapasya that was performed, and then Lord Jagannath's mercy, the lion creature was born, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we have already heard many times the pastimes of Thakurji, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where when he was just 6 months old, when the Rath Yatra was happening, the Rath car did not move in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, because his ashram was right in the mark of the Rath Yatra. And the Rath car did not move for many days. And it is then when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was brought as a child, and he was taken on the chariot to take the blessings of Lord Jagannath. And then he crawled on the chariot and touched the feet of Jagannath, and that's when the garland of Jagannath fell on the neck of Saraswati Thakur. And that's when the pujaris who were there on the Rath, they said, he is a special mercy of Lord Jagannath. So he'll be a glorious preacher, preaching the glories of Jagannath around the world. So there were signs, and there were signs to show to his own father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that this child was not an ordinary child. So many episodes, for example, accidentally, when he was a little boy, he ate a mango without offering to the Lord. You've heard this. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur chastises him. He says, how dare you eat a fruit without offering to the Lord? It was meant for Lord Jagannath. You've partaken it without offering to the Lord. And a tiny boy takes a vow that he will never eat a mango again in his life. No, we sometimes study in the Shastras about Bhishma Dev, Bhishma Shapat, you see. The vow that Bhishma Dev took not to marry again. But even in the recent past, 200 years ago, we can see acharyas like this. He took a vow, and never ever in the life of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he ate a mango again. He never ate a mango. It's amazing, actually. Even while many of his disciples and many of the donors gave him mangoes, he never touched them. And the mangoes used to rot sometimes, because he never used to touch them. But there's a story about a rotten mango as well. I'll tell you about that. What happens to those rotten mangoes? So, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a brilliant youth. He was so sharp in his memory that anything he reads once, he could remember it for his life. He was so sharp. He was a born brahmachari, means he was born to become a sannyasi in that sense. So he was a shrutidhar. He can absorb the shastras at a very young age. I was hearing His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj's discourse on this glorious day a few years back. He was saying that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur could chant all the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita at a very young age. At the age of 6 or 7, he could chant all the verses. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj said, we sometimes see this in our children even today, in ISKCON. We see that children can chant all the verses of Bhagavad Gita. And Maharaj said, there is no wonder, because Prabhupada predicted that the children who will be born in ISKCON will have mystic powers going forward. They'll have mystic powers. So Bhakti Charu Maharaj was saying, therefore, imagine what is the responsibility of the mothers of the children of ISKCON. So you have to be very careful, because these are Krishna's children. So when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was growing in his youth, around when he was 20 plus years, he had this intense desire to take initiation and to surrender his life to a spiritual master. But by then, he had already achieved vidvat. You know what is vidvat? He had mastered many scriptures already. He had mastered Sanskrit language. He had mastered Surya Siddhanta, astrology. And he had actually opened his own Sanskrit school. He was so erudite that he had already developed a new language called, it's a shorthand language, to write it in shorthand, and Sanskrit. It was called as Kranti or something, I don't remember the name. So he had invented a new language, a shorthand language, where he can write short notes very quickly. So he was very, it is then when he used to go and participate in these debates and prove the Siddhanta, like Surya Siddhanta. Surya Siddhanta is a Siddhanta, or is a script literature about astrology and Vedic astrology, and he had mastered that. That is when he had got this Siddhanta Saraswati as a title, that he had got this title. So, when his father noticed this desire of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinod Thakur advised him that you should go and surrender yourself to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So, it's then when Saraswati Thakur went to take request for initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Now, if you observe, by 26 years of age, Saraswati Thakur was an erudite scholar. He was very famous in the circles of erudition. Erudition in a sense, in pravachan, in times of talking and quoting shastras. And he was very famous among the people who used to present scriptures. On the other side, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was an illiterate, so-called illiterate. From the learned circles of the shastras, he was illiterate. He did not have any disciples. He was living the life of a recluse, like living near the Ganges, and he was just engrossed in meditating on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So then when Saraswati Thakur approaches Babaji, Maharaj says, I am not qualified to initiate you. So he says like that and drives away Saraswati Thakur. But Saraswati Thakur actually says, I don't have any other go except surrendering to you, my dear spiritual master. I please beg for your initiation. I need your mercy. So it's very interesting because he knew from his father that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was a very, very advanced Vaishnava at those times. He was called as Sarvabhauma. Sarvabhauma means is the king among the Vaishnavas during that time. And they used to meet in, if you all been to Navadvip, there is a kutir of Bhaktivinod Thakur called Swananda Sukhada Kunj, where Bhaktivinod Thakur used to come there and reside. He and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj used to have Bhagavad Katha there, along with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he was aware about Babaji Maharaj. But Babaji was rejecting him, saying, I'm not qualified. Then the second time he came, Babaji said, okay, let me ask Krishna and then I'll initiate. Then like this, many times it was happening. But Saraswati Thakur was so determined that Ramanujacharya was rejected by his spiritual master 18 times. My spiritual master has only done 3-4 times, so I am happy to continue. So he continued to come, and then Gaur Kishore Das Babaji noticed that he is very sincere. Of course, he knew that he was a Nitya Siddha. So this was a pastime going on. And then Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj agrees to initiate him, and then initiates him with the Gayatri in the ears, and he gives the Gauratattva mantra and the other mantras as well. And then what's interesting is Saraswati Thakur then takes a vow to chant a million names of billion names of the Lord just as a spiritual master. So he takes to Nirjana Bhajan in Mayapur. He goes to Navadvip and starts doing Nirjana Bhajan. For many years he does that. So much so that one day a disciple of Bhakti Vinod Thakur comes in search of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, saying, I know that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a glorious son. I need to see where he is now. So he comes to Navadvip and he inquires from many household people, saying, have you seen there is a son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? I want to see him. Where is he? So the household people say, I have not seen an erudite scholar like that. We have not seen, but we have seen a madman. He's always shouting Gauranga. He's always shouting Hari Bol. He's always shouting Radha and Krishna. He must be somewhere in the forest near the Ganga. You can go and find him in the forest. He will be like a madman. So this disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes and searches, and he actually hears Shaman shouting and crying Gauranga, Radha, Krishna from the forest. And then he suddenly sees that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur runs out of the forest like a madman, and he jumps into the river Ganga. So he was enacting his pastimes of very elevated ecstasy of the Lord while he was performing his Nirjan Bhajan. So he somehow gets hold of Saraswati Thakur and he says, you should come to Calcutta and launch this Sankirtan mission. He asks Saraswati Thakur. Saraswati Thakur shouts at him. He shouts at him and he says, can't you see Sankirtan is going on here? Can't you see Gauranga Mahaprabhu singing here? Nityananda Prabhu is dancing. Can you not see Sankirtan mission coming here? You are asking me to leave this place and come to Calcutta? Just get lost from here. This is in early 19th century, right? And then so the disciple leaves the idea of Sankirtan mission in Calcutta and he walks away. While he walks away, exactly later in 1918, Saraswati Thakur knocks on the door of this guy and he says, "I have come here to launch the Sankirtan mission now." And this disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur sees, because then he would have seen a madman with beard and shriveled hair and everything. But now Saraswati Thakur had got initiated. He had taken sannyas. So there was a clean shaved sannyasi with his Tridandi sannyas stick and he says, "I want to start a Sankirtan mission. Make arrangements for it." This was around 3 p.m. he says. And the same evening the mission was launched. He made sure that the mission was launched. It was like he had come with a purpose that this has to be done now. So the Nirjan Bhajan was a preparation to launch the Gaudiya mission, the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was like, when you are watching movies, part one is all, the hero is not come out yet. And part two is when the hero comes out, Then Bhakti Saraswati Thakur has come out with taking sannyas. Very interesting is, his sannyas ashram also is very strange and very unique. He just walked into the temple, kept Gaurakeshwar Das Papaji Maharaj's photo, and then he took sannyas himself in front of the photo. Why he did that was because of the apasampradayas. There were a lot of Babajis in Vrindavan waiting to initiate him. But he knew that nobody and no one is pure at this point in time. Everybody, there was some dirt in the heart. So nobody was so pure to initiate His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So therefore he did this. And then he declared himself to be a renunciate to the shock of his own followers and launched the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. One lesson that Saraswati Thakur teaches us is, any parampara cannot be destroyed by atheists. They cannot be destroyed by so-called rascal Mayavadi philosophers. It can only be destroyed but by the people within the parampara. So this is a teaching that Saraswati Thakur came to give us, because when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there, lot of apasampradayas, lot of Babajis were claiming themselves to be coming in the seminal lineage of Lord Nityananda. Like, we are coming from the parampara of Lord Nityananda, Janvi Mata, we are disciples of Janvi Mata. And they were preaching very irresponsibly and grossly misinterpreting the tattva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So much so that during that time, if they say they are a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that means you are a low class. You are a low class guy because you are associating with women. You are a woman and hunter. So anyone who is a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered to be a low class in the society. Oh, he is a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's follower. He is a low class. So that is what it had become when Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhakti Saraswati Thakur had come. So he was seeing, how come this divine teachings of Rupa Goswami has come to this level? So this was the pain that the acharyas were going through. So therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took this upon himself. In fact, it was the desire was from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which flowed on to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So therefore, it is the parampara, and by its own proponents, that the parampara can get destroyed. Therefore, Saraswati Thakur launched this movement of Chaitanya Mission, and very soon he expanded into 64 preaching centers all over India. And we have glorious pastimes about him, his preaching mission, and how he did his preaching around the country, and how he had this desire to preach to the West as well. And this was actually sown by Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he posted his book Lord Chaitanya and His Precepts, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya and His Precepts, which was posted out in 1896, the year when Srila Prabhupada was born. So it's very interesting how the arrangement the divine arrangement of the Lord is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a desire to preach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is born, and then just so that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is continuing his preaching mission, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada is preparing to take on the mission of Saraswati Thakur. With this, I will just read the Pranam Mantra, the divine Pranam Mantra of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of how his mood and his teachings are imbued in his Pranam Mantra. It starts like this:
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine.
It says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, who having taken shelter at His lotus feet. He is very dear to Lord Krishna, Radha and Krishna, because He has come in the lineage of Rupa Goswami. And the next verse says, Shri Vrishabhanavi Dai Devi Daitaya Kripabhaye Krishna Sambandha Vignana Daine Daine Prabhave Namaha. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj initiates Saraswati Thakur and gives him a name, Shri Vrishabhanavi Devi Daitaya. What does it mean? Who is Vrishabhanavi Devi? Radharani. And Daitaya means the mercy of Radharani. So, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj names him as the mercy of Radharani. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Vrishabhanavi Devi Daita Dasa, another name of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is favored by Srimati Radharani and who is the ocean of transcendental mercy. Kripabdhaye. Why is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Kripabdhaye? Very interesting. Until Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the casteism, the caste Brahmanas, preaching among the Brahmanas, preaching within the seminal lineage. What is seminal lineage? Oh, I am a Vaishnava. I have a son who is a Vaishnava. I will only preach to my son and my kith and kin. This practice was going on in all the sampradayas. In all the four sampradayas, this was happening. They were not giving the teachings of these acharyas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu openly to everyone. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was what? Prithvi cha nagaradi gram. He says, everywhere my name should be chanted. Everywhere my glory should be echoed. But this was not happening. Only Saraswati Thakur gave this opportunity to everyone. Therefore, he is Kripabhaye. He is the ocean of mercy. And that is why he had to face a lot of flak or lot of opposition and resistance from the so-called Gaudiya Vaishnavas, so-called Babajis of Vrindavan, and on top of it, the Mayavadi philosophers, because he was initiating everyone on the Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra, because traditionally they think Gayatri Mantra should be only given to Brahmanas. Now, who is a Brahmana? Who is a Brahmana? Brahmana is what? It is by karma and guna. Guna karma vibhagasha. And this was implemented by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And therefore, he had to fight so much resistance with everyone. And his own, so-called Gaudiya Vaishnavas started telling him that, wait, Gauranga Mahaprabhu said Varnashrama is an obstacle in the path of devotional service. But you are trying to preach and bring back Varnashrama Dharma. So you are preaching against Rupanuga Siddhanta. So you are wrong. So see, sometimes the acharyas preach and it's not comprehensible for us. Right? Because during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Varnashrama was a barricade because people were not following the real Varnashrama. It was a caste-based Varnashrama. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu renounced the caste-based Varnashrama. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is not establishing a caste-based Varnashrama, but he was establishing Daivi Varnashrama. That is why we see even Srila Prabhupada, when he established the ISKCON movement, he did not give too much importance to Varnashrama. But then gradually the Varnashrama was brought back. Because without Varnashrama, Jiva cannot elevate and come to the platform of a Vaishnava if he doesn't qualify beyond the quality of a Brahmana. Therefore, he is a Kripabhaye. He is a Kripalu because he is giving this initiation, the first and the second initiation, to everyone who is qualified. Only to those who is qualified, not to everyone who is disqualified, who is unqualified. And then he is Krishna Sambandha Vignana Daine Prabhave Namaha. He has come to give us the Sambandha Jnana between the Jiva and Krishna. So, He's come to give us this divine knowledge. What is the relationship between me and Krishna as Dasa, 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 Dasa. And then the next verse is Madhuryojvala Premadhya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida. Actually, Saraswati Thakur has come to give us the ultimate Madhurya Prema, Madhurya Tattva. He has come to give us the Madhurya Rasa, actually. But the problem is, and he's come to give us the Tattva of Rupanuga. But the problem is, when he came, there were so many weeds in the forest, he had to spend all the time to remove these weeds of apasampradaya, rasabhasa, which we read in the verse, rasabhasa, and bhakti siddhanta viruddha. So he spent so much time doing that, practically he could not preach madhurya rasa. But his disciples say that he has hidden all of these nuggets in his books. And his books are also very difficult to understand. I was hearing His Holiness Bhaktivikas Swami Maharaj. He said, there is a commentary on Bhakti, Sri Brahma Samhita from His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarvesh Thakur. It's an English commentary. And Bhaktivikas Maharaj says, we need to write another English commentary for us to understand it. So it's so complex. His English is so complex. It's very, very difficult to understand. So it's not mundane English. His language was so high that even his Bengali is very difficult to understand. His Bengali also is very pure. It's not a very simple Bengali as well. So we need another sub-translation, anuvyakhyana on the works. And he is Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute. He is the mercy of God. See, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. He is the most beneficent and merciful. But how do I get the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Through Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He is Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya. He is an embodiment of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How beautiful is that? When you see Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he is actually an embodiment of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But many of the asuras, many of the apasampradayikas saw him as fear personified. They were afraid to speak to him because he was so strong. He was so strong as a preacher. People used to be fearful of him. And so much so that they used to say, when a Mayavadi philosopher used to walk, when he used to see Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they used to run away. They used to run. And sometimes if they don't run, if a Mayavadi is walking, Saraswati Thakur used to go and shake them. How dare you say that the Lord doesn't have a form? How dare you say that the Lord doesn't have qualities, divine qualities? How dare you preach against the form of the Lord? By looking at Saraswati Thakur's demeanor, they used to get afraid. They used to surrender to his feet. It is said that while on a preaching mission, Saraswati Thakur was in a train, and in the next compartment there was a Mayavadi philosopher. He was preaching very boldly on Mayavadatva. Saraswati Thakur could not hear it. He said, because a devotee cannot hear blasphemy of the Lord. They cannot hear criticism of the Lord. Jagannath Dasaru from Madhva Sampradaya in the 18th century in Udupi, he says, a Mayavadi is such a big rascal. He's like a Ravana. Because Mayavada means what? They will say, I am the Supreme Lord. I am the Lord, you are Lord. What does it mean? Jagannath Dasaru says, so that means you are saying you are the consort of Lord Lakshmi Devi. You are saying, it is almost saying, you are inviting a guest to your house, you are saying, your wife is my wife. Imagine how horrible that is. That is how horrible Mayavada philosophy is. So you are saying you are the Lord of the Lakshmi Devi. So you must be chastised and punished immediately. So therefore the devotees take this very seriously. So this Mayavadi philosopher was going on very boldly preaching. And a few days ago, devotees had gifted a lot of mangoes to Saraswati Thakur. Because it was a mango season. And you know, Saraswati Thakur never ate mangoes. And it had rotten in the box. He told his disciples, you feed all these rotten mangoes to that Mayavadi philosopher until he pukes. You go and feed him. So they started feeding him rotten mangoes. All the rotten mangoes. Why did he feed rotten mangoes to him? Mayavada. Whether it's rotten or ripe, how does it matter to you? Everything is one. So eat rotten mangoes and you think it is rasatattva. You know, you are eating fresh mangoes. There is no difference. Everything is maya. So feed him rotten mangoes. So much so that he came and fell at the feet of Saraswati Thakur. He said, I will never preach this philosophy again. So he was like a tiger. He was like a lion. He will not spare Mayavadi philosophers. The entire world even today is garbed with Mayavadi philosophy. Everywhere this Mayavadi philosophy is percolating. The Mayavadi philosophers are so dangerous. They are dangerous because even atheists are not dangerous. Richard Dawkins or these people who preach, Darwin's philosophy, they are not dangerous. They are actually innocent and ignorant. that dangerous people are these Mayavadi philosophers. They are Ravana, they are Hiranyakashipus. They need to be destroyed. They will come in the garb of a sannyasi, they will come in the garb of brahmachari, and they will preach Tattvamasi. They will say, I am the Lord, you are also the Lord. They will preach like this. So these people need to be taken out because they are using the scriptures of the Lord. Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo, Krishna says. But they are saying, yeah, Krishna is just, you know, manifestation of illusion. They decry the position of Krishna. Hence, they must be destroyed. Therefore, this mood comes in our parampara from Brahmaji, from Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, all Srila Prabhupada and Saraswati Thakur. Never Mayavadi philosophers aspire. They must be removed, uprooted. Therefore, Saraswati Thakur, the last verse is Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Deenatarine. He is the embodiment of the teachings of Gauravani. He is the embodiment of the mercy of Gauranga. He is the embodiment of the teachings of Gauravani. See, he is Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye. He is the embodiment of Gauravani. And who is the distributor of Gauravani? Gauravani Prasharani. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Gauravani Prasharani. So, the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was embodied in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then Bhakti Srila Prabhupada comes and distributes the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's such a beautiful in there. Pranam mantra is, there is a secret. This is the secret. Rupanuga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dvanta Harini. See, even in his mantra there is Dvanta. Destroy. Rupanuga. He is the magnificent Rupanuga. He is the Rupanuga coming to actually preach the real teachings, authentic teachings of Rupanuga coming in. Because, why Rupanuga? Why Rupanuga? Because Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam. What is this next line? Dadati Swayam. Rupanuga means who has understood the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, we are the followers of Rupa Goswami. And Saraswati Thakur actually said that to consider someone as a follower of Rupanuga means it's the end of the world. It's the highest in the universe. To call oneself a Rupanuga. That's what Saraswati Thakur considered it as. Therefore, he has come to give this Siddhanta and to remove the Viruddha Apasiddhanta. One who is preaching against the Siddhanta of Rupanuga, Rupa Goswami, he has come to remove or uproot this Siddhanta, uproot this misunderstandings completely. So it says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. And it is said that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sometimes we think that Saraswati means that goddess Saraswati who is the consort of Lord Brahmaji. Actually, it is not that Saraswati. It is the Saraswati of Goloka Vrindavan. There is a Saraswati of Goloka Vrindavan who is an expansion of Radharani. So, he is the personification and of the conclusive doctrines of Bhakti. So, he is a different Saraswati. So, that is why he is called Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He is Bhakti Siddhanta. He is not nor any other Siddhanta. He is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, in this way, we can understand the tattva of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And how our Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada came to give us. In fact, Prabhupada gave a lecture on his disappearance day in 1970s and tells all this. In fact, I was hearing the lecture, so I'm just producing this, repeating what Prabhupada has said. And there are so many other pastimes as well. Many, many saw, you know, when Saraswati Thakur came to Vrindavan, he was challenging the Babaji's there. He said, you are not preaching the Rupa Goswami's teachings correctly. The Babaji's argued with Saraswati Thakur. He said, do you know the teachings of Rupa Goswami? Mathuravas, Bhagavat Shravan, we are doing that. We are living like Rupa Goswami. We are having Vesha. Vesha Avatar means we are living on a loincloth. We are living in Vrindavan. We are chanting 192 rounds. What are you? And you know how Saraswati Thakur had come to Vrindavan? He had come in Jaguar. He had come in a Jaguar car with a coat and a listen. Yeah. So seeing his dress itself had bewildered the Baba. And you are saying you are following Rupa Goswami's teachings? So then Saraswati Thakur said, you are only imitating Rupa Goswami. You are only imitating Rupa Goswami. You are only imitating the Goswamis. You are not taking the teachings correctly. And Saraswati Thakur was quite heavy on them. Very heavy on them. Why? Because they had taken the teachings very lightly of the Goswamis, and they were preaching casteism. And we will see even today, there are some people claim they are followers of Prabhupada. Sometimes in Vrindavan we see this. And they will preach that Diksha should be only given to Brahmanas within the Vaishnava seminal lineage. All this starts creeping in. These are weeds, and these keep creeping in now and then, and every time one needs to uproot the weeds. And Saraswati Thakur defeated those Babajis time and again. Many times this happened. Many times this happened. And he used to set a style statement. He sent his followers, his disciples, to beg for opening his mission in cars. Not with the begging bowl, but in cars. They used to go in cars and ask, not begging rice, but begging for opening up the mission, printing his newspapers. He used to print a newspaper, a daily newspaper. And one of the member asked him, why are you printing something daily? And Thakurji said, Saraswati Thakur said, well, you mundane people print so many newspapers in so many languages every day for your mundane city, Calcutta. Whereas our town, Goloka Vrindavan, has so many pastimes. Even one newspaper is not enough. We have to print millions of newspapers every day in millions of languages. So one newspaper is nothing. So like that, he used to defeat. And most of them saw him as a very sometimes rude and harsh preacher. He used to come upon like that. But he had actually come to give the Madhurya, Prema of the Lord. So the Acharyas say he was actually Nayana Manjari. He was the personification of the Nayana of Radharani. So therefore, he had an erudite vision for seeing the right things from the scriptures and giving that correctly. Although he was seen upon as a very strict Acharya, he was very soft at heart. Sometimes when you see Acharya very strict, you can see that there is a very soft lotus-like heart inside. So one needs to actually go and try to access that heart by serving that Acharya with a lot of humility. And that's what Srila Prabhupada was. He had sent a few brahmacharis to open a preaching center in a village. And one brahmachari was especially successful. So they open a preaching center and they establish Gaurnitai deities. And Saraswati Thakur was invited for the opening ceremony. So he comes and he says, where is that brahmachari? I want to see him. He's done such a glorious task. The other brahmachari says, we have driven him away. So Saraswati Thakur says, why, what happened? Then they say, he's actually fallen into an association of a woman. So we have driven him away. So he's fallen now, we've driven him. So then Saraswati Thakur immediately says, then I'm going to go away from this ashram. I'm not going to stay here even for a second. I'm going to leave this place. You are blasphemers. He's chastising other brahmacharis who are actually doing the right. And then he says, you should go and get the brahmachari whom you say is fallen down. I need to speak to him. And then that brahmachari had eloped and he was working in a watch factory somewhere in the town. So they go and tell him that Maharaj is calling you. You should come. So he says, I wanted to see him, but I did not have the strength to see him, to face him. But because Prabhupada has asked me to come and see him, I will definitely come. It's his mercy that he is giving me. So he goes and surrenders to Prabhupada and he goes on to become a sannyasi later. So Prabhupada says, never abandon someone who has fallen down to Maya. Always hold your shoulders to him. He has done glorious job for me. So this was the mood of Saraswati Thakur. So he never abandoned anyone, and especially those who have given up their lives for the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was so much karunya, kripabdhaya. Although on the outside he came to be very strict. Once in his own Chaitanya Math in Navadvip, he had a cook who was always very rude in the ashram. He was always chastising everyone, always picking up a fight. So none of the people in the ashram liked this cook. And by the Lord's arrangement, the cook passed away. So everybody were actually discussing, oh, this cook was so rude, he was always blaspheming. And then Saraswati Thakur happened to come there. And then he overheard these discussions. And immediately Saraswati Thakur sidelined the discussions. I liked the cook because he was wearing a very clean dhoti. Can you imagine? So, Saraswati Thakur observed tiny bits, and then it was a lesson to the other brahmacharis and sannyasis that our spiritual master is appreciating even tiny, tiny things in the devotees. So he's just not, you know, teaching rudely or teaching very strictly. He's also appreciating. He had the keen eye to appreciate a little bit of devotional service in the disciples and in the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll just say this last thing. When he was about to wind up his pastimes in Calcutta, he called upon all his disciples and he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent me here. I adventured on the request of my father to preach the highest tattva that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. But I couldn't preach them because there were so many weeds. I was busy clearing the jungle before I could irrigate it. So I was so busy that the jungles were so thick, I had to clear them from Mayavada, Apasampradayas. I couldn't do it. So I request all of you to unite and preach this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preach the highest philosophy that Madhurya Prema, that Krishna Prema that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to give. So please be united and preach this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Never fight within yourself. So with this, he instructed his disciples before he left back to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastimes in the transcendental Navadvipa. With this, I will just read a few lines which were actually the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because it's better to hear what he has said. I have just a few sentences. I'll just read a few. These are the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We are put to test and trial in this world. Only those who attend the kirtana of the devotees can succeed. Every spot on this mother earth, every spot on this mother earth where discourses of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna are held, it is a place of pilgrimage. Possession of objects not related to Krishna is our main malady. Possession of objects not related to Krishna. This is Yukta Vairagya principle that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur preached very opulently everywhere. That any object that is not related to Krishna, that is our main problem. Any dalliance with the body in luxury increases. As dalliance with the body in luxury increases, so wanes the spirit of service of the Lord. The more we get accustomed to give luxury to this body, that wanes the spirit of service of the Lord. Those favored by God find their paths set by thorns. Those favored by God find their paths set by thorns. There is no peace or happiness in our worldly life. Circumstances create turmoil and annoyance. When faults in others misguide and delude you, have patience. Introspect, find faults in yourself, know that others cannot harm you unless you harm yourself. The Lord Gaurasundara puts his devotees in various difficulties and associations to test their patience and strength of mind. Success depends on their good fortune. And then stop here. There are so many quotes that Saraswati Thakur has said. So I'll stop here. If there are any questions, comments, or corrections, we can discuss in a few minutes. Okay. If not, no. Oh, you have further quotes, okay. He also says, chant the Maha Mantra loudly and with attachment. This will drive away inertia, worldly evils and pests. Be different to bazaar gossips. Stick firmly to your cherished goals. No lack or impediments of the world will ever stand in your way. Pay due respects to the extroverts of the world, but do not be appreciative of their manners and conduct. They are to be shaken off from your mind. A devotee feels the presence of God everywhere, but one averse to the Lord denies his existence anywhere. You cannot appreciate transcendental matters with the reasoning of the world. It is sheer nonsense to decry them with the measuring stick of your intellect. To recite the name of Sri Krishna is bhakti. Life is for the glorification of topics on Hari. If that is stopped, then what need is there to carry on with this life? Physical illness with Hari Bhajana is preferred to physical fitness without Hari Bhajana. Our span of life on earth is short. Our life will be crowned with success if the body wears out with constant discourses on Hari. We are here on earth not to work as artisans for making big buildings with wood and stone, but to work only as messengers for the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A sycophant is neither a guru nor a preacher. To transform the adverse desires of the jivas is the supreme duty of the most merciful. To rescue one person from the stronghold of Mahamaya is an act of superb benevolence, far superior to opening innumerable hospitals. Unless we are devoted to God, secularism shall not leave us. Look within, amend yourself, rather than pry into the frailties of others. In this world of Maya, averse to the Lord, full of trials and tribulations, only patience, humility, and respect for others are our friends for Hari Bhajana. This Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His divine ways Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ji ki jai. Entire Gaur Vimananda.